You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
And this morning I want to just share around empowered to encounter. We've heard some amazing, amazing messages over the last few weeks. And you can really, really see that God is doing something in our midst. There is something that is stirring in the hearts of each one of us because He wants us to encounter Him in a fresh and new way. Like we heard during giving, He is not the same yesterday. He is the same, yesterday, today and forever. But He wants to do things each day different. He wants to do things to surprise us because He loves us. His desire for relationship with us means that He's always got something ready to go for each one of us. And this morning, I'm excited that God is already with us here. And I want to share with you an account of the presence of God that changed a man's life and his family. And because of that, he was never the same again. And this morning, that's what God wants to do for each one of us. He wants us to continue to experience who He really is. He wants to continue for us to experience the reality of His presence. And He wants us to continue to experience the reality of His goodness in our lives. Not just to know about Him, but to actually know who He really is. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants for you this morning. I may not know what you have experienced when it comes to the presence of God. It may be limited, it may be a lot. I'm not sure what your background is with it. But I do encourage you this morning to be open and to be ready to receive what God has in store for you. This morning I want to talk about Obed-Edom, who we find in 2 Samuel, when the Ark of God came to his household. But before I do, I just want to let you know the events that led up to this event happening in 2 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, we see the journey of the Ark. So the Philistines captured the Ark under King Saul's rule. And it was in their possession for about 7 months. But plagues besieged them, every city that went within the Philistine area. Plagues besieged them, so they had to just give it back. They thought, we can't have this anymore. So they unwillingly gave it back to the children of Israel. And it arrived in Beth Shemesh. But due to an unwise decision and the consequences of that, they decided that, you know, none of us want it in our household. So they then got the people of Kirjath-Jearim, who were slaves and serviced the house of God with water and wood, and they were sent to fetch the ark from them. And the ark was put in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. And during this time, King Saul dies, and David then becomes king. And he makes Jerusalem the new capital city, and he wants the ark of God to come back into the city. So even though Abinadab is no longer dead, gotta love these names, is no longer alive. Oh, my name's really simple, it's just Rachel. The ark is still in the house of Abinadab. And the ark of God has been away from Jerusalem for many, many years. So you can imagine King David's excitement to bring it back. And in 2 Samuel 6, we read about King David arranging to transport the ark back to Jerusalem. However, during the journey, tragedy strikes when Uzziah touches the ark to steady it and he dies. David then wasn't sure what to do with the ark, and he did know he didn't want to move it any further. And in 2 Samuel 6:10, we see David's decision, and it says this: "So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite." You know, that day turned out to be so much different for all involved. You know, King David woke up with excitement in his heart because he wanted to move the ark of God, and that changed. And for Obed-Edom, I don't know what his daily routine was like, but it was about to change. So the ark goes into an improvised home. Due to the circumstances, there was no real plan and potentially no preparation. It was done spontaneously, and I'm sure at that time it was just seen as a makeshift arrangement. Can you imagine Obed-Edom's thoughts on this? He's just heard what has happened to that man and how he's died. And now King David wants to put the ark in his house. He may have been thinking, how is this going to impact my family? How is this going to impact my life? How is this going to impact the life of my children? I don't know how old they were, but I know that when you tell children not to touch something, what is it that they actually do? Let alone the Ark of God being in the house and you being told not to touch it. You know, how long is this going to be for? How long is this going to impact my life? And, you know, I want you to think about how you would have responded if King David came knocking on your door. You've just heard about this tragedy, and then King David comes. What would your response be? But despite this, and thank goodness for this, he was open to the Ark of God coming into his house. He opened the door to the presence of God. He made room for the presence of God. And in 2 Samuel 6:11 it says this, "The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." God blesses the house of Obed-Edom. What did this mean for him? He was experiencing firsthand who God really was. He was experiencing firsthand the reality of God's presence. And he was experiencing blessing that was real. So much so that it blessed his entire family, his wife, his children, his livestock. All that was connected to him in that household was blessed. Think about that. Think about right now all that is connected to you. Maybe a wife or a husband, maybe a partner, your children, maybe plants that need some help, livestock, I need to get some more livestock, vegetation. Think about everything that is connected to you, extended family, even your mother-in-laws. Think about all that is connected to you, and that was blessed because of the presence of God. Here's what they may have experienced. Relational healing and joy in the family. Who wants that this morning? Faces glowing with God's glory. Who wants that this morning? Vegetation thriving. Profound wisdom. Deep intimacy with the Lord. Confidence. Peace. Supernatural power. Success in everything they did, financial prosperity, favor, physical vitality, protection with the ability to create blessing wherever you go. Protection and the ability to create blessing wherever you go. Hearing God's voice with clarity, and worshiping him with love and ease. And that's what you and I get to walk in on a daily basis. You might say, but I've never experienced that. Let me tell you, that's the God that we serve, and he is in the business of blessing you. And not only that, everything that is connected with you, connected to you. There are people here this morning that are needing healing. I'm declaring right now in the name of Jesus that our God heals. There are people here this morning that are needing to make decisions and needing to hear God's wisdom. Let me tell you right now, God is in the room and he is speaking to you. There are people here that when you go out into the business world, you are going to see doors open like never before because of the God that you serve. He is in the business of blessing you because he loves you so much. And he wants to encounter you on a daily basis. And he wants the blessings and the reality of who he is to be real in your life every day. Who wants those things in their life this morning? Amen. And because of this, news spreads. Can you imagine the conversations happening around the water wells? Obviously, we don't have water wells. But can you imagine the conversations happening or at the local markets or shops? You should see what is happening at Obed-Edom's house. He would be sharing the experiences of what God was doing. The presence of God is real. You should see what's happening to my plants and my vegetation. His friends and neighbors saw and acknowledged the abundance and the blessings of God in his life. And in 2 Samuel 6:12 it says this, "And it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. The news spread so much so that it reached the ears of King David. God is blessing Obed-Edom and his entire family and all that belongs to him. When King David heard about this, he didn't want to miss out, and he made preparations straight away for the ark of God to come back into Jerusalem. The experience of Obed-Edom testified of the God he served, and this caused others to desire what he had, which was God's presence." Don't you want that this morning? That wherever you go, whoever you talk to, whoever you encounter, they notice something about you and say, "I've got to have what you have." The faithful obedience of a servant of the Lord created a hunger in the king of Israel, so much so that he decided again to move the ark of God back to Jerusalem. If he can move the heart of the king, how much more can you and I move the heart of the people around us? And that's what we want to continue happening, amen? That the good news to spread of the presence of God, that he is alive and that he is real. Recently, I was just talking to someone and they were telling me about a challenge that they were going through. And as I was listening to them, I could tell that their perception obviously was their reality, but I knew that it wasn't entirely true. And I walked away from that situation and I thought, you know, Holy Spirit, I may never be able to challenge her or change her opinion on that particular situation, but I can change her perception of who she sees, how she sees you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that the next time that I meet her, that you give me a word for her, that you give me something, because I want her to know that you are real. And then through her getting to know you, then hopefully her perception and her reality will change on this circumstance that she's presented with. And that's the thing that you and I can hold on to, because we serve such a miraculous, merciful and loving God, that the people that we come in contact with, their lives can be changed because of God in us, his presence that lives and dwells within each one of us. And so, you know what? Next year, I hope to hear, maybe you'll hear a good report about that situation. Let's believe for it. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him, and blessed is the man who trusts in him." Obed-Edom had tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and he knew it to be true. He experienced it firsthand, not just reading about it, but he knew it to be true. It changed him so much. He experienced something that was life-changing. I'm sure many of us have tasted something so good that we're willing to travel to go back and experience that taste again. So you can imagine on this scale, experiencing the presence of God, how much it changed his life, how much he was willing to see what God was going to do in his life. And I believe that this 3 months that the ark of God was in his house was a training ground for him. As soon as he opened the door to the ark of God, it became a training ground for him and his family. It awakened his spirit to the things of God, who God was and what he could do in his life and with his family. Here he started to cultivate a hunger and a desire for the presence of God and the things of God. He experienced the Holy Spirit speaking to him. He learned to hear the voice of God. He experienced songs of praise and worship rising up in his heart that he couldn't help but just sing and bring glory to his name. And he experienced God opening up treasures to him like never before. Through him opening, being open and receiving the ark of God, this became a training ground for him to see what God could do in his life and his family's life. gave him a taste of who God was, gave him a taste of hearing his voice, gave him a taste of worshiping and praising his name, gave him a taste of God opening up treasures to him like never before, gave him a taste of his blessing, gave him a taste of seeing miracles happening, gave him a taste of seeing healings taking place, gave him a taste of things thriving in the name of Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is here for you to taste and experience all that he has for you. No wonder it changed his life. No wonder it became a different person. God gave him a glimpse of what he could experience in him. And God gives us a glimpse of what we can experience in him. But then it's up to us to make a decision. What are we going to do about it? He gives us a taste. He says, this is what I've got for you. I want you to taste it. I want you to partake of it. I want you to drink it in. Have your feel of who I am in you and what you can be in me. He gives us a taste. Hearing his voice with clarity. Singing songs of worship. God opening up the treasures of who he is. Deep intimacy with him. He gives us a taste. He gives us that experience. He says, this is your training ground. Why? Because I want you to walk in it. I want you to walk in it. Not just for yesterday, but today and forever. This is my training ground right now. You open up yourself to me and you see what I can do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not a maybe. It's not just maybe it's an optional extra. It's who God is. He gives you a taste. He says, I'm opening up the doors of the prophetic to you. I'm going to give you a taste right now of hearing my voice, speaking my word, seeing lives changed, because this is a training ground right now for what God is about to do in the life of this church, in the lives of our families, and in your life. There's things that you're going to see when you're over in the mission field. God is giving you a taste now. Because he then wants you to take it to the mission field and see lives transformed for the power and glory of God. There's healings that God has for you that he wants you to taste and see. So then you can then take that because it becomes a training ground to experience more and more and more of him. This morning, we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. How do I know that? Because his presence is here. He is saying to us this morning, my presence is for you. I'm allowing you to taste and see it because there's going to be more, there's going to be more, there's going to be more, there's going to be more. Why? For his glory, but also because people out there need to know the reality of who he is. Taste and see that I'm good. That's an invitation for all of us. He gives us that invitation because he allows a training ground to take place so that we can then step into all that God has for us. There's many people in this place and you are so involved and connected to the life of this church, and I just want to take the opportunity to honour you now for that. And God has been giving you a taste of what he wants you to do. But he doesn't want you just to stay there. He actually is saying, come and take my hand right now because I've got more. You think what I've done right now is great and you know what it is, but I've got more. Trent, just come and take my hand because I've got more. While you're out mowing the lawns, there's things that God's going to deposit into your heart like never before as you just hold his hand, one hand with him and one hand on the mower. As you go up and down, but there are deposits taking place because this has been a training ground for you because God has been saying to you, taste and see that I am good, and you have, and you've acknowledged and you have honoured, but now God is depositing more and more and more and more into your spirit. There are things that God is depositing, even now as I'm speaking. There are things that the Holy Spirit is depositing right now into your spirit because you have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good. But God is saying right now, there is more. 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 And thank God there is more. because we want to see people saved in the name of Jesus, because we want to see lives transformed in the name of Jesus. We want to see healings taking place in the name of Jesus. We want to see deliverance taking place in the name of Jesus. We want to see breakthroughs taking place, and they have, but let me tell you right now, at the end of 2019, before we start 2012, there is going to be more, there is going to be more, there is going to be more, there is going to be more in the name of Jesus. Because we have tasted, we have seen, but we know there's more. We know there's more. And thank the Lord God, there is more. There has been a stirring in our hearts. I don't know if you've been sensing it, but there has been a stirring in our hearts because God has been preparing us. He's been saying taste and see, but he's been preparing us for more of him. He wants us to desire more of him because of who he is and the relationship he wants with each one of us. You know, years ago when I was living in Adelaide, I went to a meeting at the entertainment centre, and the man that was speaking, I got the opportunity to sit like on the second row, and normally, didn't always get that opportunity, but thank goodness for great parents. So I got to sit on the second row. And as this man was speaking, he was just walking up and down. I'll just show you. He was just walking up and down as he was speaking. It might have been just on giving, because he would take about 20 minutes to half an hour to give a giving message before he actually preached. So he'd just be walking up and down, just like this. And as I was just sitting in the second row, the presence of God that was surrounding him was so tangible that it was like it just spread out over the seats, and I could feel the presence of God from where I was sitting. And as I just sat there, it was like, God, you're giving me a taste. Yeah. You're giving me a taste as a child, a person in my 20s. You're giving me a taste of the reality of your presence and the fact that I can actually experience this in my life on a daily basis. You know what? That started a hunger in my spirit. God, I want more. God, I want more. God, I want more. And you know what? I may not have been perfect, as you all know. I know that's a shock for some of you. I know I haven't been perfect. But let me stand before you right now and say, that was a training ground back there. God allowed me to sense and taste his presence, and I did see that it was good. And from that, it stirred something in my spirit, and it's something that has never left me, to know the reality of his presence in such a real way. And we have been experiencing, and we're going to continue to experience his presence. Amen? That's my exercise for the day. So he had a choice. Obed-Edom had a choice. And what was he going to do? The ark had been taken back to Jerusalem with gladness, but he had a choice. Do I stay where I am, or what do I do right now? Do I just see it as a great experience and a fond memory for years to come? Or I can actually do something about this. And the good news is he couldn't go back. He knew he couldn't go back. He had tasted and seen, and it was just too great for him to ignore. He couldn't go back. He had opened the door to the presence of God and couldn't go back. He had to be where God was. So he put himself in a position where he could be close to God. And the first thing we see with Obed-Edom is that he becomes a gatekeeper. And it says Obed-Edom became a gatekeeper, or a doorkeeper, for the presence of God. He had been given a taste of God's presence and hearing his voice. So he became a gatekeeper to stay close to him. How could he not move to where God was? In 1 Chronicles 15, verses 18 to 21, you can see that Obed-Edom and Joab became the gatekeepers. I'm not going to read, because all those names are very hard to read through, but all you need to know, and you can read it for yourself, that Obed-Edom and Joab were doorkeepers for the ark and gatekeepers for the ark. Because he'd opened the door to the ark of God in his home, and because it became a training ground for him, it then allowed him to become a gatekeeper in the house of God. How? Because gatekeepers were guards stationed for protection at various kinds of gates. For example, city gates, palace gates, and temple gates. And they were entrusted to watch. A gatekeeper had to be trustworthy and alert. And you can imagine this scripture becoming real to him in Isaiah 30, verses 21. Your own ears will hear him right behind you. A voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the left or to the right. Obed-Edom could rely on the Holy Spirit to speak to him if something was amiss or something wasn't right. He had allowed a good thing into his home, and now the Holy Spirit would help and guide him in his duty as a gatekeeper and doorkeeper, to know what to allow in and what to allow out. You know, the Holy Spirit is our gatekeeper, and we can learn from him what we can allow in and out of our lives, for ourselves and for our families. If someone comes knocking on your door or your gate and you're not sure of the situation, you can turn to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. Let my ears hear clearly whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. And you know what? We know that we can trust him to say, you know what? Maybe don't go there. That could be dangerous. Or maybe, yeah, that's an okay decision. He is our gatekeeper this morning, and he allows us to know what is good and what is not, what we can allow in and what we need to get out in our lives and for our families. Aren't you glad of that this morning, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us like that? You may start to feel uncomfortable in a situation. That's where we need to learn to trust the Holy Spirit and either close that door or whatever the situation may be. Just, Holy Spirit, you show me what to do, whether I need to close or let open. And I know that he will let you know. And in Psalm 84 verses 10, it says this, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the house of the wicked. You could imagine Obed-Edom declaring this over his family and his own life. I love your presence, Lord, and I want to be where you are. So much so that he became a gatekeeper. How can you and I be gatekeepers? By allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and asking the Holy Spirit to help us discern when we're in situations we're not sure about, and allow the prophetic to rise up within our spirits. And I know that that's exactly what he will do to help us as we rely on him and trust him to lead us and guide us. His voice will speak to us clearly and tell us which way to go. But Obed-Edom wasn't just content to be a gatekeeper. He had tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and he just wasn't happy just to be a gatekeeper. So where do we find him next? He becomes a worshiper. Obed-Edom became a worshiper for the ark of God, the presence of God. He just couldn't help but being near where God was, and any job that became available, he was there with his hand raised. I'll be doing that. I'm happy to do that, because he loved being where the presence of God was. And in 1 Chronicles 16 verses 4 to 5, it says this, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, then Jeel, Shemaroth, Jehiel, Matthiah, whatever, and Obed-Edom. Jeel was stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. I know that might sound a little bit confusing, but trust me when I say he became a worshipper. What did this mean for his life? He worshipped in his presence on a daily basis, or when he was told to. And when he was in his presence, he would hear God speak to him. He would have been part of singing some of these hymns. You could imagine him with joy and gladness in his heart. In Psalm 77, verse 13 to 14, it says this, your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. You could imagine him singing that with such assurance in his heart, because he had experienced it. And you can imagine him just singing that with his family. You know, God, you are so good. We have tasted and seen that you are so good. We've experienced healings because of who you are and you blessing our household. And in Psalm 81 verses 1 to 2, it says this, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. You know, once again, you could just imagine him singing those songs. And the thing is, even when he wasn't assigned to be singing those songs or as the worshiper, I could imagine him walking down the street just singing those songs, having those thoughts in his mind because of what God had done in his life and his family's life. And, you know, for us, we might not physically move to another place or another location, but, you know, when we're driving in our cars, when we're at home, wherever the places we may be, and if you don't mind people hearing you sing, you can sing and worship God and sing praises to his name. And, you know, you can do it under your breath too if you're not sure about your voice. But let me encourage you, We don't have to go somewhere. We can just sing and worship God wherever we are. God has called us to be worshippers and give Him glory and honor, and that's what we can do on a daily basis. Even if we're not assigned to the singing team, praise the Lord, everyone said that I'm not, but let me encourage you, you can still sing and rejoice in the shower. But you know what? Because Obed-Edom had tasted and seen that the Lord is good, he wasn't content just to be a gatekeeper and a doorkeeper in the house of God. He wasn't just content to be a worshipper. He then became the treasurer. Obed-Edom became a treasurer for the ark of God. He had been given a taste of God's protection and His presence, a taste of having conversations with God and hearing His heart, God revealing things and treasures to him. How could he not move to be where God was? And in 2 Chronicles 25 to 24, it says this, as musos come up, please. And he took all the gold and the silver, all the articles that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. God entrusted him with the treasures. What does that mean for us? There are things that God wants to reveal to each one of us. There is things that he wants to tell us and he wants to share with us. There are things that God has stored up for each one of us that he wants to show you and reveal to you. And the thing is, this morning, not only did he pursue being a gatekeeper, a worshipper, but then he became the treasurer, because he wanted to know the heart of God in such an intimate way. He had experienced it, but now he wanted more. God, reveal to me more about your heart. Reveal to me more about your thoughts. Reveal to me more about your ways. Holy Spirit, just to continue just to speak to you, have that intimate fellowship and relationship with you. He couldn't just stop at the 3 months. He had to follow the presence of God wherever he was. He had tasted and seen, God, wherever you are, I want to be. Wherever your presence is, I want to go. And that for him meant moving to Jerusalem on obviously certain occasions. I don't know how far away he lived, but he was willing to do it because it had transformed his and his family's life so much so. That, God, I just want to be wherever you are. I want to know your heart. I want to know what treasures you have laid up for me. I want to partake in all that you have for me. I want to give glory to your name. And you know, the good news this morning is his sons were also became different things in the life of the house of God. So not only did it affect him, but it affected his children. It created a hunger and desire in their lives, so much so that they wanted to be where the presence of God was. And don't we want that for our children? We want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. And because of that, they then want to be wherever the presence of God is. And they then become things in the life of this church. You can imagine seeing some of those children, I won't name names, running things in here, because you can already see them starting to do things in the life of our church. And that is a great thing to behold, that they're tasting and seeing, that they want to be where the presence of God is, that they feel safe in His presence. Because that's what He does. He creates safety, He creates protection, because He is peace, He is joy, and He's love. How can we not want to be where He is? And thank goodness His children were blessed and they followed God as well. I know we desire the presence of God, and I know we want the presence of God to be a reality in our lives. And I know we want the good news of His goodness to spread. God has been giving us a taste, and we can testify that it is good, but we want more. There are people here that I believe God has called you to be gatekeepers, to prophetically know what is going on and to protect with prayer. And I believe there are people here that God has been drawing you to worship Him and to learn how to warfare with this through praise and worship. And I believe that people here, God has been calling to reveal His treasures that have been set aside just for you, to reveal the next step that He has in His journey with you. And as you begin to just trust Him, as you begin to lean into Him, as you begin to worship and praise His name, you'll begin to see those things unfold before you. I just want us to stand for a minute in His presence. For a few moments, I just want you to raise your hands if you feel comfortable doing that. Lord God, right now we are open for you to come and speak to us. Lord God, we are open. We love. love your presence. We desire to be where you are. And Lord God, I just declare right now that in the prophetic and in the spirit, Lord God, that you will just touch those people that you have declared to be doorkeepers in the house of God, to prophetically see things, to prophetically hear things, to prophetically know what you are wanting to do in our midst. Lord God, right now, I just pray that you will stamp them with the glory and the weight of your presence. Those people that you have called, that you've called by your name, Lord God, to be doorkeepers in the house of God. And Lord God, Lord, those ones that you've stamped to be worshippers. Not that we all can't do these things, but right now there are people here that you are calling to warfare and worship. And Lord God, I just pray that the weight of your presence will come and touch those people in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, that all of us are called to have treasures revealed to us, things that you have laid up for us. And right now I just declare the weight of your presence to come and begin to open our eyes to the things that you've revealed, the things that you've stored up for us. Mighty God, we just spend this moment right now. We want to see you reveal things. We want to hear your voice so clearly. Lord God, the weight of your presence is touching hearts and lives in this place in the name of Jesus. You know, for Obed-Edom, he had the presence of God in the ark in his house. So he had to come around it. He had to be around it physically. Where the ark went, where the presence was, to experience that presence, they had to follow it. They had to go where the presence of God was. But that was not enough for God. God didn't want you to have to travel to follow just to receive his presence. He wanted to go one step further and said, I don't want the presence just to be somewhere that you have to get to. I want the presence in my people. I want the presence in every single individual of humanity, that they don't have to travel, but they can just come, and inside of them is dwelling my spirit, is dwelling my goodness, is dwelling my son Jesus, is dwelling the goodness and the peace of God. Deliverance, it's inside of them anymore. You don't have to travel anymore because of God's son, who is Jesus Christ. God loved humanity so much that he sent his only beloved son to die upon a cross, because where we were separated from his presence, God said, this is not good enough for me. I don't want my people to be separated from my love, from my presence. So my son is going to go to the cross. He's going to take on the weight and the sin and the depression and the sickness of this world upon his shoulders, so when he rise again 3 days later in resurrection power, that my people will no longer be separated from my resurrection power. That's the Father heart of God. That's the love of a God who sends his only son to give, to sacrifice, that you no longer have to be separated or alone or isolated from the presence of God. But because of Jesus dying on a cross for you, he can now live and dwell and reside in your heart. In your heart, you carry around the presence of Jesus wherever you go because of his son who died for you. That separation was no longer an issue because of his son. And all it takes is inviting Jesus into your heart. You know, all it takes is receiving. Nothing that you can do can earn your salvation. No good works can you do to receive him. You know what it is? It's just saying, Jesus, yes. Yes, I receive your son. Yes, I receive your goodness. Yes, I receive your peace. Yes, I receive your love. And I invite you into my heart so that you can live and dwell and reside with. That means you get to talk to them all the time. That means you get to worship. That means you get to hear his voice, spend time with him. That's how much God loves us. And if you're in this place today, if you're watching online with us this morning, if you're watching this message a few weeks down the track and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, let me tell you, I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning to invite him into your heart to live and dwell within you. You get to carry him all the time. And if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Pastor Naomi,
I need to know who this Jesus is. I need this reality every single day of my life. I need this reality in my challenges. I need this reality in my family. I need this reality, peace that surpasses all understanding. I need that peace. And if you say to me, you're in this place now, you're watching online, Pastor Naomi, I need to receive Jesus. Would you just indicate by raising your hand? You might be sitting in your lounge chair right now. Just raise your hand where you are. Thank you, I see that hand. Anybody else who wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to no longer be separated from a God who loves you so much. And we're going to pray this prayer, and I would love to invite you to pray this prayer to receive Jesus in your heart. And all the church right now is going to be praying along with you, supporting, because we have all prayed this prayer. We have experienced Jesus Christ. We know who the hope of glory is. I want you to say this after me. Dear Jesus, I just declare that you are the Son of God, and I no longer want to be separated from you. So I repent of my sin. I receive you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a wonderful decision that you have made. If you're watching online with us this morning and you've made that decision, God bless you. But it's not where it stops. It's just where your relationship with God starts. And we have a first step booklet. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And God wants you to know so much more. He wants you to understand how to worship. He wants you to understand how to read his word. God can speak to you every single day just by reading and understanding his word, understanding who God is. And in this booklet, it gives you the first steps on living this life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're watching online today, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. Also, on your way out, if you don't have a Bible, whether you made the decision or not today, but you don't have a Bible, you came in here new, please, our hosts are ready up the back. They want to give you a Bible so that you can read his word and hear his voice.